This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Today, the DOJ announces that they plan to seek a new indictment against Hunter Biden very soon. Tucker Carlson interviews a man who alleges he had sex with Barack Obama. And we give a breakdown of the sham impeachment trial of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez. And yesterday, special counsel David Weiss filed a status report in the Hunter Biden case, announcing that the Department of Justice plans to submit a new indictment of Hunter Biden by the end of the month. The filing came in response to the Speedy Trial Act, which requires that any information or indictment charging an individual shall be filed within 30 days from the date on which such individual was arrested or served with a summons in connection with such charges, and that the timing exempted the time spent working on the sweetheart plea deal that later fell apart. Weiss wrote in his filing, the government intends to seek the return of an indictment in this case before September 29th. Thus, the government does not believe any action by the court is necessary at this time. Well, Hunter's attorneys, desperate to cling to something to keep their crackhead client from living behind bars for a nice long while, said in a statement yesterday that they believe the previous signed agreement in the case, you know, the one that the judge tossed out, they say it remains valid and prevents any additional charges from being filed against Mr. Biden, who has been abiding by the conditions of release under that agreement for the last several weeks, including regular visits by the probation office. But I guess I would probably cling to that, too, if I knew the mountain of evidence against my client just continued to multiply daily. Here to discuss this and more, we have Yacoub Bouyans, Blaze TV contributor and host of The Bottom Line, and Pat Gray, host of Pat Gray Unleashed, which you can find right here on Blaze TV, as well as wherever you get your podcasts. So it is very funny watching Hunter Biden's defense team continue to use this plea deal that the judge already said. She already ruled on it. First of all, she had them go back to the drawing board and talk to each other. She said, hold on, you guys, the prosecution and the defense both seem to think that this plea deal means different things. So let's figure out and get on the same page. And then later was like, yeah, I reject this. You can't move forward with this. This is unprecedented. And the defense team is still like, no, we signed it. We're just going to abide by that. That's legal. Yeah, that's not the way it works, unfortunately, for them.
It's so on brand, though.
It is.
For culture today, right? Like, what is a woman? Like, what is gender? What, you know, because that's it. We decided, and so it is. But then there's the thing called the law.
That pesky law.
That little thing. Mm. The law, mm-hmm. Written, voted on, passed through Congress, you know, the law. Mm. But apparently, there's two sets of law. There's the set of law where, does it really mean that? Can we not just make it an oopsie and go back to the previous one? And then they do. So I have a weird inclination here.
Okay.
I don't know that we see Hunter behind bars, but I think it's going to get hot in the kitchen for the Bidens very, very quickly, mm-hmm. because it is I'm a broken record. It is a means to an end. It is a means to off-ramp the Biden family, mm-hmm. out of the White House, by the Dems, by the liberals, because they do need to off-ramp them at some point. And this is
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, they'll usher in Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
For the next election, but I mean that's my thinking. Because how does this go away? Because it's just the more you talk, the more Pandora boxes you open. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it feels a whole lot, Pat. Like either they're going to have to hang it all on Hunter at this point and hope that that distraction will just make the other things go away. And they'll say, no, look, it was all Hunter. Hunter's gonna do the time, or Hunter's gonna, you know, pay for, have consequences for his actions, and then hope that people forget that Joe was deeply connected to all of it. Or, as Yaku was saying, the Democrats are going to finally say, okay, this is our chance, let's take it, because the new polling that continues to come out does not look good for them when it comes to Joe Biden.
No, it doesn't, but I still have my doubts that they'll jettison Biden. It's tough to get rid of a sitting president if he wants to run again.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love it if they did, because I think he's got a much better shot than Gavin Newsom. I mean, if Gavin Newsom gets into this race, I think that's a great thing for the Republicans.
Yeah,
really?
Because California has got a terrible situation to talk about.
That's true.
I mean, if you're comparing situations from governors, let's look at Florida and California. Let's have that argument. I would welcome that big time, and I'm sure Ron DeSantis would as well. And anybody else who's running. Because all you have to do is bring up the disaster that is. I would 24/7 be running ads about what Los Angeles and San Francisco look like at this point. The crime rate, the drug problem, the human feces in the streets. It's not a good story to tell for Gavin Newsom. So I'd love to see
him. Pat, don't you think a Gavin Newsom gives new hope and new lifeblood to the never Trumper faction, where they go, it's hard to back the old man. Can he hang on for four more years? I mean, how long? How long until? But if you bring new blood in like a Gavin, they may double down and go, okay, well, now we can swing again.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think it's going to come down to your point. You could, obviously, if you use his record, he's immediately disqualified, right?
Yeah, he's done. Yeah.
But how many independents will actually pay attention to that? Because it's obviously going to come down to independents.
Mm-hmm.
How many independents are informed enough that they will look at that versus how many independents will just say, well, he speaks so eloquently and he's so handsome, I think I'm going to vote for him, which is what happened with, you know, Barack Obama when they said, but he's such a great orator. Well, I mean, he threw our country into a tailspin, but hey, he spoke really nice. I just worry, I don't know how much faith I have in those independents who are not sure, who are going to be the deciding factor here. I'm not sure how much faith I have in them to be an informed voter.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much faith I have, though, in the Democrats getting rid of Biden. I got no faith in that.
Yeah.
They
might like that he is really, like, they do just control him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
right.
They just control
the
puppets.
There's
got to
be
strings.
Some sort of a concern with him of, like, when does he just not...
Yeah.
I don't want to say, you know, when is he literally physically just not able to, you know...
Right.
When does he melt down completely?
Like what we're thinking of where Mitch is right now, and it's sad, you know? I had an interesting conversation yesterday. I have a big, big concern. We talk about the left a lot. I think we need to start talking about the right more in the GOP, because we're in trouble. I mean, there is a fractioning happening in party leaders in states, in committee, in precinct chairs. It's not connected. They're not speaking the same language.
And what are they fractioning over?
On what their motive is, what they're focusing on, how to raise up the grassroots, securing the vote, getting people out to vote. It's not collaborative. It's not a vision and a focus. It is helter-skelter. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but I'm just, we better.
Well, that's not good.
No.
Yeah.
No, but at the end of the day, we need every single vote to cohesively show up.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to switch gears here. And this is maybe a little bit tabloidy, but I feel like we need to address the recent Tucker Carlson interview.
You tabloids?
No. Please. Where he interviewed Larry Sinclair, who claims that in 1999, he had gay sex with Barack Obama after a drug-fueled night in Chicago. I want to play a little bit of that interview. Watch.
By Election Day, most Americans knew only one thing about Barack Obama, other than he was handsome and a good communicator: hope and change. But they knew nothing about him, his origins, what he believed, and legitimate questions about those facts were turned away, as they often are, with the claim, That's a conspiracy theory. You're crazy. Shut up. One of the most interesting moments in the 2008 campaign occurred when a man, like Obama himself, came from out of nowhere to recount his experiences with Barack Obama the man. His name was Larry Sinclair, and he told an amazing story. He said that in 1999, he had encountered Barack Obama in Illinois, had sex with Barack Obama, and then used cocaine with him. Sinclair went on to make these claims publicly at the National Press Club in Washington, to sign a sworn affidavit and to take a lie detector test. But he was dismissed. In fact, he was attacked. Obama shills like Ben Smith of Politico batted the claims out without refuting them. They're absurd. And the rest of the media followed suit. But the claims weren't absurd. We're not claiming they're true, but they were certainly credible. This was a firsthand account of Barack Obama's behavior by someone who was willing to sign a sworn affidavit to that effect. So the question is, whatever happened to Larry Sinclair? What's his life been like since? That's an interesting story. It turns out Larry Sinclair is still alive. He lives in Mexico. But today, he's in our studio.
Well, I wish that we had the clips from the actual interview. But so in the interview, he said a limo driver introduced him to Obama after he asked for help connecting with someone to party. Obama was a state senator at that time and did... What is the he?
Fellatio.
Do I really need to say more?
Fellatio.
He did not have sexual relations with that man. And look, I want to say, like, let's not even give this any sort of attention. This guy's a convicted criminal. He has a very, very shady background. But also, I have seen Barack Obama throw out an opening pitch at a baseball game. That makes me, I don't know, just question.
Sarah, while we're here, can we just, I don't know.
Talk about
the birth
Michael?
Certificate.
Big Mike?
Big Mike. Mm-hmm. Michael and I. Mm-hmm. Michael and I. We're like, how many guys misname their wives? I know one that can't find her. That's Joe Biden. The other one just calls her Michael. Hey. I'm just saying that's him saying Michael and I, and then the birth certificate, and then the African saying that man's not born in America. I mean, so who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? So the Michael Michelle thing, is that what you're alluding to?
Uh-huh. Have you seen Michelle Obama on Ellen dancing?
No.
There's a particular bulge. It's weird.
I've heard about the bulge.
When you see it, it's worse.
Yeah, that's
just end there.
That's scary. There's also a clip of Joan Rivers. Just before, like shortly before her death, maybe 2 months.
Like it was nothing.
Yes.
Like she just said it.
CNN said she was joking.
Yeah.
No. But somebody asked her about, will we have the first gay president? I forget who they were referring to at the time, but she said, we've already had a gay president, Barack Obama. She was not joking.
Mm-hmm.
CNN just blew it up. Oh, she was joking.
And we all know Michelle is a tranny.
And we all know Michelle is a tranny. Mm-hmm. And the reporter said, what? She's transgender. And everybody knows it. And she was dead serious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had never heard it up to that point.
Close to the end of her life. Nothing to gain from that.
But no. Yeah, right. Yeah. Why would Joan Rivers say that? I mean, it's bizarre. And there have been weird things coming out of the Obama's mouth for a long time. I mean, Michelle said twice that Barack was from Kenya. I mean, who knows?
There it is.
Okay, yeah.
Come on, Stephen.
Let's go ahead. Let's
Come
go
on,
ahead
Stephen.
And replay that Joan Rivers clip.
Best director in the world.
Mr. Rivers, how are you? You made a ton of news officiating the wedding in New York yesterday. Is this like a new cottage career move for you?
I am so excited. Okay. And I should do very well because I don't choke.
And do you think that the country will see the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh my gosh.
We all know.
It's okay.
Calm down. She's not joking.
No, she's not joking.
It's not a joke.
It's not sensational. It's not sensational.
That's just matter-of-fact stuff.
No. Like, we all know. Come on.
No. Hey, I'll say that. We might as well. Can I? Oh, can I, please? Where's Eric July when you need him? It's like the Jay-Z story. Like, they all go, we all know.
Wait, what about Jay-Z?
It goes both ways.
Really?
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
But apparently they all knew.
Everybody else knew.
So it's like we all know in that club, they do all know. Mm. Huh. They do. In that cigar club, that small uniparty.
Right.
Mm. In D.C., they know. So, Joan, when I saw that, I was like, she's not kidding. And she's not doing this for shock value. This is just like,
no.
She even goes, that's okay.
No. Calm down.
It's okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right, let's go ahead and I'm tinfoil hat off. We're gonna take a quick break and then we will be back with more. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold. So, look, things are not like the economy's not going great here in this country. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention around you, but Biden's economy, they call it Bidenomics. We call it Bidenflation. And what happens is you sit there and you watch your 401k or your IRA just continue to be devalued. And all of this money that you've saved up in it just continues to go less and less and less and less. And I would urge you that if that is you, please go talk to Birch Gold Group. What they can do is they can help you get the physical gold that is held in a tax sheltered IRA, which historically gold has been a great hedge against inflation. My family has just heavily diversified even more into gold. We've done it with Birch Gold Group. And I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm telling you to go to the financial advisors who can give you all of the information on why gold could be right for you and your family. So you can text the word why to 989898. What they're going to do is send you a free information kit on gold. There's no obligation and there's no reason not to do it. Text the word why to 989898. All right, I want to welcome to the program joining us, Kerry Cheshire. He is the executive director of Texans for Strong Borders. And Kerry, I brought you on for a couple different reasons. This is a very Texas-centric show, or it's going to be, because I want to talk to you later about the impeachment trial of Ken Paxton. But I brought you on, obviously, to talk about the border first, because yesterday we learned that the Biden administration won its lawsuit that they filed in late July against the border buoys that Texas, Greg Abbott, had set up to obviously dispel, you know, people trying to come across the border. Now, I know my friend here, Yaku, would argue it was a tiny, he's not wrong. It was a tiny area. It wasn't really doing anything. This was just Greg Abbott pretending to care. But be that as it may, the Biden administration did win the lawsuit and Texas is now supposed to remove these buoys from the Rio Grande. Now, Greg Abbott has already said that they are going to appeal. But it's just getting more and more harder to see a path forward with the U.S. government just cutting us off at every pass in trying to defend our own border here in Texas.
I think that's absolutely right. Look, it's really an escalation. Mm-hmm. What we've seen historically is the federal government refused to secure the Texas border. Now they've said, hey, Greg Abbott, you can't do it either.
Right.
That's an entirely new level that says, hey, you have to surrender to these narco-terrorists, these cartels that actually control the border. Look, this judge's opinion is absolutely wrong. I'm glad Greg Abbott is appealing it. But really, he needs to do more than appeal it. We need to escalate. We need to go down there. Article 1, Section 10, the judge is entirely wrong on the law, entirely wrong on the Constitution. The waters of the U.S. do not apply. The rulings in relation to the navigable rivers, just because Mexico and Joe Biden doesn't like it doesn't mean that Texas can't defend itself.
Right.
It's fascinating because, so the Biden administration, they said that the buoy border conducts irreparable harm to the public safety, navigation, and operations of federal agency officials in and around the Rio Grande. But it seems to me like if federal officials were doing their job, this wouldn't be a conflict here.
So I'm on a feed with numerous, we do a lot of work on the border and trafficking, and we get intel this morning. Again, I get video feed that no agency would play, no news organization would play. The irreparable harm and damage done to people is on the hands of Joe Biden. When you're fishing bodies out of a river, when you're looking at the decimation of the virtue of children, when you're looking at 300 Americans dying a day of fentanyl crossing the border, 1,254 miles of border. Yes, I don't have much hope in a football length, you know, buoy system. Thank you, Abbott. Nice try. It's political theater. That's my opinion. Do more. We're Texas. Double down.
I think on that, to that point, what the buoys really did was channel some crossings to ports of entry. So they didn't stop illegal aliens from coming across. They just said, hey, you can't come across here. We want you to come and be processed by Border Patrol, which sets up an entirely new problem, which is they come in, they get fingerprinted and said, hey, show up for court in 3 years.
Correct. But now remember, to your point, Carrie, and you're so right, it actually plays into the hands of the CBP One app.
Entirely.
Yeah.
Entirely.
100%.
Well, they'll come down and pick you up.
Yep. We'll pick you up. As a matter of fact, we'll pseudo-process you through this fake, you know, consulate general embassy system called an app, and you'll come in legal status. And remember how this works. I'm an immigrant. Down the line, in 2032, when there is an actual judge in immigration again, and this migrant, former MS-13 member, stands in front of a judge, here's what they ask. His first entry into the United States, was it legal or not legal? And they're going to claim legal because of the CBP app. And then that sets precedent. They have landed migrant status is what's happening here. It's asinine. It's absolutely insane. My opinion, Abbott, you're failing Texas. You got to do more. You got to fight, like, because who else? Newsom? Who's going to fight? Arizona?
Katie Hobbs?
No. Nope.
Come on now. Katie Hobbs. It is Texas, baby. That's it.
Yeah.
It's these guys.
Well, I want to throw in here because I mean, you guys are both absolutely right. I also wonder how much pressure the Biden administration will feel from their own, including, you know, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who, I mean, they think they're feeling it in New York City. I would argue you ain't seen nothing yet, right? Like, go to El Paso and talk to them about what they've seen. But Eric Adams was speaking at a town hall last night, and he started just bashing Biden's immigration policies and said that the migrant crisis is destroying their city. Watch.
Started with a madman down in Texas, decided he wanted to bus people up to New York City. 110,000 migrants.
Oh no, not 110,000.
Clothes, house, educate the children, wash their laundry sheets, give them everything they need, health care. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month.
Wow.
He should be welcome.
One time we were just in Venezuela.
Sanctuary city.
Sanctuary city.
Now we're getting Ecuador. Now we're getting Russian speaking coming through Mexico. Now we're getting Western Africa. Now we're getting people from all over the globe have made their minds up that they're going to come through the southern part of the border and come into New York City. And everyone is saying it's New York City's problem. Every community in this city is going to be impacted.
It's funny because when it was just Texas's problem, it was just El Paso's problem. Nobody cared.
No. Nobody cared. That's why, contrary to what Yaku thinks, I believe that this is the most brilliant political move maybe ever done.
Oh, no, it's brilliant.
It was Greg Abbott who did it. It was Greg Abbott's idea to send these people to New York. And then DeSantis picked up on it as well. So has he done everything he should? No, he has not. But that was a brilliant political move because it brought the Northeastern liberals into our border situation. Here's what it's like, a little tiny taste of what it's like to be a border state.
About shipping
him
like up, the, shipping him
like
up there, yes, the buoy, absolutely.
No, the buoy
So I would like to merge you. I would like to marry your two ideas because I think you both agree. I think that you can hold the position that Greg Abbott shouldn't be channeling more people through into the ports of entry where they will be dispersed. Mm-hmm. We can block the border more, and then they won't be able to get in.
Yes.
I also think that he could say it's a good decision that the ones that are already in here, the ones that they have already processed through.
Ship them north.
Mm-hmm. Ship them. So yes. I think you guys Absolutely. Are both on the same on the but same side with that.
I think the way that we do that, though, is there's still so much more that Texas can do internally.
Yeah. Yes.
We don't have any verify law like Florida or even South Carolina. It's insane that Nikki Haley supported E-Verify in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. They passed their law in South Carolina over a decade before we have something here.
Thank you.
We still have in-state tuition for illegal aliens.
Thank you.
Like, this is still, we don't have sanctuary cities, but we still welcome them here. We'll educate you, we'll medicate you.
Actually,
we'll
do have sanctuary cities. Isn't Houston? Isn't Dallas? Aren't they both?
Beyond sanctuary cities, here's what Greg Abbott did, and he's brilliant, right? It's not a law, it's a memorandum, it's some sort of an EO, an executive order, where he lowered the standards for what's called shelter facilities in the state of Texas, thinking that the church community and other people would open shelters to house migrant children. Do you know who's housing migrant children in Frisco, Texas? The cartel. They're trafficking them out of apartment buildings under the Greg Abbott law. And with shelter facilities, there's some funding. So, yes, ship them north. Let them feel the pain.
Yes.
There's a lot we can do in Texas.
Yes, look at the pressure New York is putting on Washington because of it.
Mm-hmm. Remember, all 100,000 that end up in New York first came through Texas, baby.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Well, most
they
of
first
them.
Came through
most
Texas.
Of them, because, you know, Biden is allowing them to just fly directly there. So some of them just get a free flight directly there.
Sure.
But most of them, yes. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a quick break. Carrie, hang out with us, and I want to talk Ken Paxton impeachment trial next. First, I want to thank our sponsor, Patriot Mobile. So Patriot Mobile, for 10 years, have been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And I know, look, I still don't have my mug.
I called for it. I called for it.
Okay. Pat has a Patriot Mobile mug, and
I do too.
It looks like
I don't just
all right. Brag about it, okay?
No, but I'm working on yours. You know they're busy helping saving the
Listen,
nation.
Listen, I know. All right, my mug is not a big deal, but I'm just saying what you really want Patriot Mobile for is not the mugs, but actually the dependable nationwide coverage with mobile phones, giving you the ability to access all three major networks. Many people think like, why do I have to be with one of the three major networks in order to get coverage? No, they all share the same towers. So you're still going to get the same dependable coverage, but you're going to be supporting a company that supports you. Okay. They're putting money back into, they're investing back into things that support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. They have 100% US-based customer service team, and you can keep your number, get a new one, bring your number, bring your phone over, get a new one, do whatever you want, but just make sure that you are not giving your money to Big Mobile, who is going to turn around and, you know, invest it into LGBTQ causes. You can go to patriotmobile.com/news. Get free activation when you use the offer code news. That is patriotmobile.com/news.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
All right, let's talk Ken Paxton impeachment trial. So they are on, as of the time of this taping, I know we're a little bit earlier than when you guys are actually seeing this, but I think it would be very safe to assume they're still on their third witness in the trial. So I wanted to kind of review the first two witnesses that we've seen on what is day three of this trial. And I'm sure you guys have kept up with the headlines. I think, Carrie, have you listened? I've listened to every single word that's happened.
Absolutely.
I'm glued to it because I honestly can't believe that we are actually watching this happen. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
It's a sham. And the more I see these people who are supposed to be star witnesses come on the stand, Jeff Mattier, the first witness, comes on the stand. What remind me of his title? What was his title?
He was the first assistant attorney general. He was basically the top deputy.
Right. Directly underneath Ken Paxton. And he comes on the stand, and it is just embarrassing to listen to him admit that he had no evidence to support his assumptions about Paxton's decisions and why Paxton was making the decisions. Absolutely no evidence. He just thought the worst of him, I guess. But he still ran directly to, of course, the Biden weaponized or the weaponized FBI with these baseless accusations, nothing to back it up. And it's just fascinating because when you listen to people like Jeff Mateer, the first witness, and you listen to Ryan Banger, the second witness, who was the title, I can't remember. It's like
right up there.
First assistant. And so you listen to Mateer and you listen to Bangert, and what I can conclude, and Carrie, I want you to give your analysis here, but what I conclude is it sounds a whole lot to me like Alexander Vindman getting on the stand at the Trump impeachment trial and explaining that he just basically didn't like that his boss was making a decision that he, the bureaucracy, thought that his boss shouldn't be making. And so he didn't like that his boss was allowed to override him and then went on a crusade to, of course, ruin him. And what I'm hearing from this impeachment trial sounds very similar to what happened to Donald Trump. It sounds like we just have a deep state in Texas.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. What we're seeing is nothing related to reasons to actually impeach Ken Paxton. We're just seeing that there was absolutely a coup in the Attorney General's office of staff who forgot that he was the elected official, not them.
Right.
And you see shades of involvement from Greg Abbott. You see George P. Bush. You see all of this kind of establishment, kind of Texas deep state maneuvering here that I think ultimately took advantage of Jeff Mateer, Ryan Bangert, these other folks, and spun them up into a frenzy. I think they were very upset by the affair that Ken Paxton had and admitted to, had in a meeting with them and his wife and everything else. And they just couldn't get over that. They looked and saw the worst in him at every single opportunity. And they were ultimately disloyal and disobedient. I mean, it was repeated times that he was told them to do something. They refused to do it. Mm-hmm. And then to your point, they went to the FBI. And this is not the FBI 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Right.
This is post-Russiagate. Mm-hmm. This is while there's impeachments, while there's the Alexander Vindman stuff going on. They knew exactly who they were delivering Ken Paxton into the hands of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even tell him they were going to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amazing thing of all this.
Yeah.
And remember the timing of it, right? None of this information is new.
Yeah.
Right.
None of it. Ken gets reelected,
twice.
As Attorney General, twice, post all of this. And then what happens? Ken Paxton writes a letter addressing date feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A little issue that we covered on this show. And like match meets gasoline, they were ever ready, almost as if the pump was primed, the vipers was in the den right around Ken, and then the Phelan connection, the P. Bush connection, the Abbott connection, all those that maybe for years, how do we deal with Ken? How do we deal with Ken? The guy who has sued Biden more than any other AG in America's history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the second he went after Phelan, one of their chosen, one of their dub guys, right? It was, 48 hours. Boom.
Yeah. Yep.
Boom. All of a sudden, all the evidence, and now we're going to impeach the guy, and it was like firing squad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just saying.
I think it's a political witch hunt. And look, I think the Democrats, you know, if you look at Ken Paxton's election case that he took all the way to the Supreme Court, Democrats wanted a scalp from that. Yep. They tried to get him disbarred with the Texas State Bar.
Right.
And I think as part of the power-sharing agreement that Dade Phelan struck to get Democrat votes to come to power here in the Texas House, I think he told him, we'll be behind you. And
now we're talking. Now we're getting, brother, into this cesspool of the Texas House.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, I don't see why, you know, you have, let me give you guys a couple things that came out here with the second witness, Bangert. So his whole claim was that Paxton pressured him to publish a legal opinion on foreclosure sales that would benefit Paxton's friend, Nate Paul. He had no evidence to back that up. In fact, he deleted his texts and emails. Suspiciously, these people keep deleting their texts and emails, even though
he wiped them like with a cloth, you know?
Yeah. And even though, you know, you would think as an attorney, you turn over things to the FBI, you know that there's going to be a case. You would think as an attorney, you know, you should probably preserve evidence just in case. apparently that didn't happen. Darn, what a coincidence. This was a not a legal opinion, but informal guidance. And the document indicates that at the top. Guidance that, by the way, the Trump White House actually issued shortly thereafter. I guess maybe Trump was in on the whole thing, too. Right. Wink, wink. And Paxton's team provided evidence of Paxton's intentions via text message directly to Bangert. And Bangert said, yeah, he sent me that text message. I just didn't believe him. Oh, okay. So that's enough reason to go to the FBI and accuse him of all of these crimes with absolutely no actual evidence. He also, seemingly stays on top of things, except that he didn't write a memo regarding, he wrote memos frequently.
Yes.
Stayed up to date. Well, he didn't write this memo regarding his whistleblower claim until months after it actually happened, which conveniently coincided with the same time that he and these others went to the FBI.
What a coincidence.
All these strange coincidences, Pat.
You know how it's so despicable that it's gotten to this point in Texas. And there's a reason for that. And I think, we need to do something about that in Texas. Mm-hmm. And we just don't. We continue to ignore the Speaker of the House in the Texas legislature, and that's gone on for far too long. Mm-hmm. And, we pay so much attention to national politics, but politics really starts at home. And we really need to pay attention to what's going on in Austin, because there's no way it would have gotten this far with better leadership from the Republican mm-hmm. Party.
If you look at how Dan Patrick runs the Senate, mm-hmm. and you compare it to the House, that comparison.
Because Dan Patrick's a real conservative.
Yeah.
He runs a solid Senate.
Yeah.
You would think that the House is from Chicago.
Yep.
Right. With Beetlejuice.
Right.
Right. And the Senate looks like Texas. Mm-hmm.
This too. On the impeachment, you have the Texas GOP chair, Matt Rinaldi, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump all come out and condemn this ahead of the vote.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Then you still have 60 Republicans say, damn the torpedoes,
it's
we're
unreal.
Sticking with you, Dade Phelan.
Yeah.
We're going to impeach Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. I would. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to be the end result here?
I think the senators, after watching the show that we've seen, I mean, where it really is, there's no smoking gun for Ken Paxton so far. Instead, we're just pulling all of these threads that show that he had disobedient staff who thought that they held the elected office and not him, and ultimately should have been fired for holding that belief. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I think ultimately the Texas Senate will acquit Ken Paxton or dismiss these charges. I have the ultimate faith. That's my prayer. At Texans for Strong Borders, we are working to activate citizens to let folks know that that's what we expect our lawmakers to do.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think that will happen. If it doesn't, I think there will sadly be a big reckoning in the primary.
And I think that's part of the reason that I do think that that will ultimately happen, that he will be acquitted and returned to office, because I think the senators can see they have absolutely no defense. They would have absolutely no defense if they did vote to impeach, and there mm-hmm. would be political hell to pay for them at the ballot
boxes. And
the
senators are conservatives. They're not part of the Dade Phelan leadership team.
Yeah. But guys, there should be political hell to pay regardless.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because of this action.
I agree.
Is spring cleaning session in Texas House.
I agree.
I mean, if you're a House member today, mm-hmm. I know a couple good ones. Mm-hmm. Some.
Yeah.
You just go see who voted against this sham.
My House rep went
the wrong direction.
Went the wrong direction. Kronda. I'm talking to you, Kronda. Hey, that meeting, you canceled on me. You want to reschedule that, Kronda?
But when you look at guys like Steve Toth and these guys who are unbelievable guys, there's few, but it is house cleaning time regardless. And the other thing, the question is, acquitted back in office, his relationship with Abbott? I want to see what that's going to look like going forward, because the people who we thought would come out swinging in defense of A.G. Paxton, they didn't. They went.
They were quiet.
You said 60. 60.
The thing 60. Is, though, I just think that Ken comes out of this stronger than ever. I think it's exactly the same as the Trump indictments, where he just continues to go up in the polls. I think Ken Paxton beats this, and I think, I think he comes in and continues doing what he has done, and I think the voters of Texas will be very
with him.
Very with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carrie Cheshire, Executive Director of Texans for Strong Borders, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Can we come back soon?
Sure thing.
All right, perfect. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Carrie.
Absolutely.
No, I think he's strong.
All All right, I think Fannie Willis over in Fulton County may have opened a can of worms that she might regret. Georgia's Republican Attorney General Chris Carr announced earlier this week that he has indicted 61 radicals with the Defend the Atlanta Forest group under the same RICO statute that DA Fannie Willis charged Trump and the other 18 defendants other. Now, he said that he says that members of the Defend the Atlanta Forest subscribe to a philosophy of anarchy. They hold a core belief that society should abolish police, government, and private business, and as further alleged, they're willing to bring about such changes, quote, by any means necessary. He said that the defendants are alleged to have conspired together to prevent the construction of the Atlanta Public Safety Training Center by conducting, coordinating, and organizing acts of violence, intimidation, and property destruction in Fulton County, elsewhere in the state of Georgia, and other states. By the way, 43 of the defendants were previously charged with domestic terrorism. So, you know, you just like if you guys are going to open Pandora's box, I don't know. Yaku's here, so I won't say the whole thing, but FAFO, guys, okay? Find out. That's what I'm going to say.
Thank you, Sarah.
Your thoughts, guys?
Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I don't really have any thoughts on the RICO thing in Georgia. I'm
fight fire with fire, though?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Look, I my concern here, again, it's precedent, right? You just impeach a former president with nothing. You impeach an AG with nothing. You're going after folks in the way you have evidence, and it's evident in something like a Hunter case. You can't seem to get law and order to step up, you know? And so my concern is that I think we're turning the bend on a quarter mile of the track, and we're heading the home stretch here to election season. And I think it's going to get hot in the kitchen. So then let's make it hot. Let's fight fire with fire. That's where I am. Let's go after them.
Well, I mean, it's funny because, you know, the left is calling these charges anti-democratic. Really? Really? Incredible. So you don't like it when you get a taste of your own medicine, I guess.
No, they never do.
No. Rolling Stone said that this case will threaten the ability to protest. Well, I don't think the right to protest includes throwing Molotov cocktails. I don't think that is included in your right to protest there, buddy.
But the precedent was set that it was okay, right? For four years, you could throw cocktails, you could set the flag on fire, heck, you could burn a cop car down.
Yeah, I mean, they're throwing them at police
and
officers.
Nothing, and again, because they've gotten away with it.
Right.
Nothing happened.
And wasn't January 6th a protest?
Right.
Well, there was no fire.
Yeah, they didn't have any Molotov cocktails.
No Molotov cocktails.
We didn't have the pictures.
They broke some windows. They were rowdy. Yeah. They got a little out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Pat.
And they shouldn't have. And we've condemned those who did that.
Yes.
But, man, when the shoe is on the other foot, it's completely different.
But, Pat, it wasn't we promised you it's peaceful and the building's on fire in the background.
Right.
It wasn't that.
No, it was not.
But they got away with it.
Right.
And that's what I mean with precedent.
Right.
We have set precedent in this country that I don't know, maybe in the law you do it, but in their minds, how you come back from that. It's almost like Glenn said this morning, he's like, I think we've lost two generations. We thought it was one generation. I think it's two generations. You know, they think that they should be allowed to do it. Fire on police, but don't fire back.
Right.
Spit on police, but don't go to jail. Steal, but don't no repercussion. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, and they can complain about elections too, but the other side cannot.
Right.
And they can call them a sham, and they have for 30 years. Every time they lose, the Democrats call it a sham and an illegitimate president. But if you're a Republican and you do the same thing, sorry. You're gonna be charged.
Yeah, Stacey Abrams in Georgia, where all of this is going on, I think still thinks she's the rightful governor of Georgia.
She never stops.
She probably knocks on the door of the governor's mansion every day. She's like, "Hey, are you guys gonna let me?" No, you're okay. Thanks,
Hillary.
It's disgusting,
Hillary. I mean, look at how Hillary went after Trump for it was an illegitimate election. It was fraud. It was
for years
corruption.
She's still doing it.
It's disgusting. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You know what I just realized?
Are a biohazard caused a Delta flight headed to Barcelona from Atlanta to turn back around mid-flight. You may be asking, what was that biohazard? Well, a passenger had massive diarrhea and somehow sprayed it throughout the plane. Have you not seen?
No.
You haven't seen this?
No.
Okay, I want to show. Guys, look, it's the end, okay? It's the end of the show. Things get a little crazy at the end of the show.
Oh, wow.
No, honey, no.
Is it a horse or a human?
Oh, no.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, how...
They had to turn the plane around.
They did, but how do you, like, you have to intentionally run up and down the aisle.
Yes.
While shitting yourself.
But how does it all get on the...
Right down your pants.
I guess it's a commando situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to know. That's a lot of Taco Bell or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm scared to fly, but I've never been so scared I did that.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.